Thank you for listening to the Alan Wright Sermons podcast. I'm his son, Matthew, and we have been splitting up the sermons every other week at our house church that my wife and I host on our farm. If you're interested in joining us, check out WrightFarmHouseChurch.com. Enjoy today's lesson.
So right now we are working through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is Paul's definition of love. Do you guys remember what we did last week?
Kindness.
All right. And I've titled today's lesson, Overcoming Envy. When I was in college, my roommate was Bart's older brother. His name is Dustin. Did you guys know that? That I was his roommate in college for... Yeah. And Dustin would barely study. I don't know if he actually did. Maybe he could correct me on this. But I never saw him study. I'm the kind of guy who has to study for tests. And I never once, and I think we roomed together for a whole year, I never once saw Dustin sit there and open a book and study. Now, he might have opened to peruse what the test was about to be, but I never really saw him open up a book. So I think it was our second semester, and I had signed up, because I really liked Colleen, I had signed up for pre-med. So I had to go do organic chemistry. I don't think we were in the same class, but we did end up having the same teacher. And so I'm doing organic chemistry, which is a really, really difficult class. And the teacher was great. He made it real. He made it fun. And he made a very difficult subject attainable. And so I really did enjoy it to a degree, but I had to study a lot. And so we had a really difficult midterm, I think, coming up. I think it was a midterm coming up. And I could not beat Dustin. Dustin would not study, and I would study so much, and I could not beat him on tests. So I was determined. Literally, the only reason I wanted to get a good grade was to beat Dustin. So I sat in my room, other than eating and using the restroom, I sat in my room for 3 straight days. I barely slept, and I studied for that test. And I studied nonstop for that test. And I was determined to try and get not only just to beat Dustin, but to get the best grade in the class. And for those 3 days, I didn't see Dustin. I don't know where he was. He was out doing his Dustin thing. And I don't remember seeing him. The morning of the test, I'm up early. I've got my breakfast. I've washed my face somewhere or something. Sure, maybe I'd taken a shower. I have the book open. I'm doing my last minute cram. And Dustin walks in. And he sees me with my organic chemistry book. And he goes, "Oh, no. Do we have a test this morning?" And I said, "Yep." And I just lit up. I remember smiling, going, "Yes, this is it. I'm going to beat him. You know, I've been in this room for 3 days." And I remember he just shaking his head, going, "Oh, no, no, no." And so I sealed the deal. I knew I was going to get a better grade than he had on the test. And so he opens his book, and probably for 3 or 4 minutes, he flips through the pages of where we're supposed to. And then he walks with me to the class with only his organic chemistry book and a pencil. We take the test, and it was a very difficult test, and he handed out the results, and on the top of my test paper, I had missed 1 question, and he had an extra credit question. I remember that was added 5% if you got it right, and I wasn't prepared for it. So I got 1 question wrong and the extra credit question wrong, so I got 98% on the test, and I was so happy. I was like, "This is awesome." So I turned around and said, "What'd you get on the test?" Because he sat right behind me. And he flipped his paper around, 100%. There was a girl that sat next to him that Bart and I know, and she was also really smart. And he was like, and he always tried to beat her on the test. And he said, "What'd you get?" And she turned her paper over, and she got 105%. So she'd gotten the extra credit question too. And I was so dumbfounded. I was so jealous. I was so envious. So I was envious of Dustin, and he was envious of her. But that's just kind of like a light story of envy, right? I could have really, really been angry about that because I worked so hard and he worked very little and he was always beating me. But envy isn't merely like wanting what someone else has though, right? This story represents almost jealousy. It's not just about wanting some, like the book smarts that Dustin had. It includes wanting what others have, but that's really not what it is. Envy is a constant disposition. It's a constant obsession toward others. Envy is an inner uneasiness about the prosperity of others or the smarts of others, like in that story. It's a bitterness towards people who have more than us. It's a desire that people who have less than us would stay that way and always have less than us. So do we feel envious sometimes? Have you ever felt like discomforted? Maybe when you boys grow up, you might feel this way. Discomforted when a coworker gets a promotion that maybe you felt like he doesn't deserve. Maybe you, have you ever had a sense of happiness when like a peer gets knocked down a little bit, knocked down a notch? What about irritation when a family member or a friend pulls up in a new car that's nicer than yours? Maybe internally, when people get stuff that's nicer than us, we might say, I know what kind of person they are, and I know they don't deserve that stuff. What about we gossip and we mask it as concern for others? We'll say, I just don't know if they'll be able to handle all that responsibility. That big house that they just bought is something they're just not ready for. That's kind of like masking envy and gossip, or gossip in concern for others. And if we've experienced any of that, then we've experienced envy. So we're continuing our series through 1 Corinthians 13. And in this passage, Paul offers an active definition of what love is and what love doesn't do. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he says, love does not envy. Paul needed to write this to Corinth, the church in Corinth, because envy was thriving in their congregation. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 3, Paul wrote, to these same Corinthians, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? So envy was a problem for Christians in Paul's day. And guess what? It's an issue for Christians today. Ethan Cross is a professor of psychology at the University of Michigan, and he studied the impact of Facebook on our mental health. In a recent publication, he wrote, weirdly enough, it still has this tendency to fill us with envy. Christians need to be aware that we're carrying around these tiny little envy amplification devices in our pockets. That's what we could call these. They're called cell phones, and they can very easily make us absolutely miserable human beings. So Ethan Cross here, he says that according to his research, all of this is taking a toll on us, the likes of which we have never experienced in world's history. And I believe it. Living with envy is literally a living hell here on earth. Envy comes to us straight from Satan. Envy is the opposite of love. That's what we're learning in this passage. Envy hates seeing others prosper. Love delights in prospering others. Envy loves seeing others suffer misfortune. But love suffers misfortune for the sake of others. Envy is the way of hell, the way of Satan. Love is the way of heaven, the way of our Lord Jesus. Okay? One of the teachers that my mother introduced me to, Malcolm Smith, I like this. He likes to refer to something Paul writes in his letters. And you guys may have heard me. I think I might have said this yesterday when in that podcast thing. He likes to refer to what Paul does in some of his letters as sin nests. These are passages where Paul will list off a number of sins in a grouping together as an example of what the churches should not be doing. They may have been struggling with specific sins. And so he says, don't do these things. And they're never the same. Well, one of the sin nests that Paul has in Galatians chapter 5 specifically mentions envy. And he gives a stern warning with this sin nest. He says, people who practice these things will not go to heaven. It's very direct. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Colleen, knowing that I was going to talk about envy this morning, she's studying her Bible, like we talked about earlier, and she said, are you going to cover this verse? And I thought this was really neat, because I wasn't. Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 29 and 30, says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. And then verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Okay? There's a lot of warnings in the Bible against envy. Continuing in Galatians chapter 5, Paul doesn't leave us hanging with this sin nest. He says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. Listen, envying one another. That's this envy word again. Paul tells the church, this church in Corinth, twice, hey, cut that envy thing out of your life. Okay? There was a problem there. He says, cut it out. Love does not envy. So, as we continue our study of 1 Corinthians 13 and we dig into what love is and what love is not for the Christian, let's focus on whether or not we have even a hint of envy in our lives towards others. Let's pray to God this week that He helps us cut it completely out. Okay? If we have even a hint of it, we've been sternly warned. Cut it completely out of our lives so that we can become more loving Christians by His power and set a better example of Jesus every day of our lives towards others, who we come into contact with, so that we can spread the salvation that only He can offer.
Thank you for listening to the Alan Wright Sermons podcast. We hope you'll join us next time. God bless you and have a wonderful week.